$15 minimum wage. We even got Election Day as a holiday, and we got a train running right through our town. What am I rapping about? You'll find out on the finale of season 2 of Queer Eye. Let's go.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin. It's getting
better. Jonathan, with my hair.
I'm Karamo.
I'm Karamo. Oh, Karamo, really cool. Wait, I'm Jonathan with my... That's my one strand of hair. I was doing the fan. I don't have any hair. Hello, everybody. Hi. Hello. I'm not Jonathan. I'm Charles Connolly, and I'm so happy that we're going to be finally talking about the finale of season 3 of Queer Eye. And Leon is missing. Matt is missing. James is missing. If you've seen two gays and a straight wandering the streets, let us know because they're not here. But I do have lovely Christine with me.
Hey, guys. It's Christine here. I'm so happy to be here for the finale.
I'm happy, too, that you're here, girl.
I know. I kind of came mid-season for any of you who are just tuning in, but I'm so happy to be on this panel. And, God, I'm already looking forward to season 3, but let's just get through this last episode.
We're going to have some season 3 tea at the end of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, let's get into the finale. So let's just jump right in, as we always do.
Mm-hmm.
This episode was called Make Ted Great Again. Very aptly named, because we're talking about a politician today, baby. We're talking about the mayor of Clarkston, Georgia. He's a young man. He's 34 years old. He has sweet, sweet baby blue eyes. His name is Ted Terry. And he's kind of a hippie mayor, isn't he?
Yeah, kind of looks like a Yeti as with the facial hair. Super sweet guy, though. I got to say, I mean, all the heroes are usually very sweet, endearing people, aside from maybe Ari, who was kind of a douche.
Oh, yeah.
But Ted is super sweet. He's exactly the kind of guy you'd want to make over or make better for this finale. It's such a good feel-good.
Yes, yes. And I will be, if you're watching on the stream, I'd have my notes down here on the table, so I'm not, like, texting or ignoring you, girl. I'm just looking at my notes to make sure that I have all of the tea together. So he is the youngest mayor in Clarkston's history. He's 34. He was nominated by Andrea, his girlfriend, and he calls his beard actually his resistance beard, which I think is so funny.
Yeah.
And the big kind of storyline of this episode is that he's hosting this dinner at the end of the week with delegates from Sierra Leone and the Philippines. So it's like a big deal for him.
That's big. I mean, that's international, you know, power players coming to your small town in Georgia. That's a huge deal.
I'm really nervous. And he's nervous too. openly admits, like, at the beginning and at the end, that he's kind of nervous. So the Fab Five come into town to make the mayor gayer. And we're here to break it down for you. So
I love that.
First, in the five-step process to make the mayor gayer, we're going to look at Anthony. So Anthony, we just said that this guy, Ted, is hosting a dinner at the end of the week at his house for these delegates. So Anthony kind of gets the responsibility of preparing the menu.
Right.
Which is a big deal.
Yeah, but I mean, it's cool because this time he actually has a little bit of help because Andrea.
I don't think that they don't seem like the kind of people that would mind.
Okay, I'll go with
whatever
Andrea.
The earth says to call me, call me.
She's already got such a good foundation for Anthony from her garden in her in the back of her home, the chicken coop. She's got live produce,
eggs,
you know, the really natural, irregular ones.
Yes.
And she knows how to cook much better than Ted does, obviously. So they've got a good foundation there. It's just up to Anthony to, you know, up it a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like at the beginning Andrea is the all of the good things about being a hipster, like she has the garden, she does yoga, she's very peaceful, like organic, non-GMO everything, and her boyfriend Ted just has like the beard being a hipster. So Anthony, the main things that he does notice their garden, but the main moment he has with them is he takes them to that upscale restaurant.
Yeah.
And he doesn't necessarily take them to an upscale restaurant to say you have to mimic the food. He takes them to understand what a proper place setting looks like. So we get to experience the fork moments,
right?
The wine glass moments.
Yeah, a little teaching moment right there. The
teaching moment. And I thought this was cool.
I thought so, too. I thought it was just a simple, understated elegance. And I think he took the right approach with this because even though there are, like I said, there are international delegates coming, the pressure is definitely on to impress. But you can do a lot with just doing a little bit. And I think that simplicity is really what shined in
Keep
that.
It simple.
Yeah.
Quality over quantity. But Anthony does say, like, you need casual, simple elegance. And I'm like, okay, casual for you is like this amazing, like multiple fork, multiple like wine glass and water glass. Casual for me is like a paper plate and like a dishcloth. We are clearly on different levels, but I told Christine that before the episode and she was like, and that's why you're not the mayor or something like this. I was like, bam. So true. So true. So yeah, Anthony, he teaches them this and then he's basically like, you know what we're going to make? He looks to Andrea and he just says flat out, you're going to make the salmon.
Right.
And they do a wonderful like grilled baked salmon. I'm not sure if it's grilled or baked, but they do
nicely marinated.
They do. They do a grilled peach and heirloom tomato salad, which might be the gayest thing that's ever been eaten on the show.
Yeah, did they top it with a little burrata? Did I miss that, or maybe that would just make it
that gayer. Would make it too gay. Like yeah. You can't go that gay.
That's
so gay. It's almost straight.
You know, you're right.
Right.
You're actually right.
So
but I thought that was a really cool idea, though, because
Georgia peach,
hello. And I mean, I love having salmon with either a little bit of citrus or something lighter. Mm-hmm. And I think that peach, ooh, that was one of the like few things that Auntie's made where I was like, ooh, I actually really do want to try
it. It looks
that.
Good.
Yeah.
And you know, come on, let's get philosophical for a moment. So he does say, Anthony says, what's more Georgia than a peach? So you notice how Anthony took a very classic, antiquated Georgia staple and made it modern and new.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this mayor is doing. Ted, jumps into a really like antiquated, steeped in tradition society in the South, and he kind of brings it to life and gets some vibrance and some youth in there and makes it really progressive. So I thought it was cool that Anthony took the peach and said, we could make peach cobbler, but that's not the type of mayor that you are. You're more of a grilled peach and heirloom tomato salad kind of mayor.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really successful.
I think so, too.
So, another thing that this mayor has to do is he has to learn how to be kind of a more confident, well-spoken, well-rounded mayor.
Yeah.
And that's where our buddy Karamo comes in.
Karamo, the culture expert, of course. Who better?
Yes, culture expert. Maya Angelou of our generation.
He is
the wisdom queen, the wisdom king. He's all of the above. We love a Karamo moment. So his whole thing with Ted is to say, you have to learn how to be a better public speaker. You have to be more confident on stage.
Point blank, period. That's like the staple of being a great public speaker. You need to captivate the room. And it's not always about doing the most. Mm-hmm. It could be about just saying something clearly and making sure that the message gets across. And I think they really wanted to hone in on that. Because even when Ted talks, like, he'll talk in circles a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you can tell he's just like he struggles a little bit with being a little more direct. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the episode, you can see that every time he does open his mouth to say something, it's concise, it's to the point,
right.
And it was a good lesson learned.
Right. And, yeah, he does have a lot of those verbal disfluencies, which if you're a communications major, you know that verbal disfluencies are ums, ands, likes, it's like those filler words.
Yeah.
Like that one.
I do that too.
Like what I just did. And you do them without even noticing. And the more you think about verbal disfluencies, the more you accidentally incorporate them into your vocabulary. So you can clock me on my verbal disfluencies. So, so that's what Karamo does. He's like, you're going to learn how to be a better speaker. So he brings him to a room in the middle of town, what it looks like. And he lets him meet with Joe, the Georgia state champion public speaker speech giver who's probably 16 or 17 years old.
He's a little baby,
which was kind of weird. Like, honestly, I thought it was kind of strange seeing like a 16-year-old telling a mayor how to public speak.
Yeah,
was that weird?
Now that you put it like that, it's very weird. I think Karamo's angle, which he said in the episode, was like, I'm just trying to show you like what you look like at that age, or like a younger version of what could be you later on.
Right.
You know, if he inspires the next generation of young people in the city who want to be politicians.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of strange because at the end of the day, they want to make Ted more approachable to people in the town. And it's like, okay, the 16-year-old just kind of schooled you. It's weird.
It is weird. And like,
I don't know.
Okay. And that actually leads us into one of the most cringy moments of the season, but it was cringy in a good way. Like, I enjoyed, I was entertained, but it was a rap battle, y'all. And that's what I was doing at the beginning of this episode. A, B, C, D. So this rap battle was, okay, whenever Karamo said, we're going to rap, I was like, okay, you're going to have a 16-year-old high schooler in a suit rap a relatable lumberjack who weighs maybe 85 pounds. This is going to be good. And good, I mean not good. And it wasn't great, but it was funny. And Karamo, like, thought it was fun and even, like, admitted at the end of the segment, now, Ted is not an Eminem. He's not Eminem, right? But it was funny. And he was like, okay, rap about stuff. And he rapped $15 minimum wage. We even got Election Day as a holiday. We legalized recreational marijuana. And we got a train running through our town. Mm. And there was, like, that oh moment, which was, like, kind of funny. But I thought that was a moment.
I thought that oh was so, like, prompted. Yeah. Because you know that line was...
I wanted to be in that room and where there was, like, absolute silence. Oh, my God.
How many times do you think they reshot that?
Okay, I read in an article they shot it twice because...
Really?
Because Ted actually said, yeah, like... I rapped that, and that train thing just came to me, like, on the top of my head, acting like it was a really good line. Train track running right through a town.
The mic drop line?
The mic drop. He was like, yeah, that train thing came to me, and right whenever I said... Oh, this is what he said. I was like, right whenever I said we have a train running through our town, the train actually went by outside, and then the audio guy said we had an audio issue, we have to record it again, so they recorded it twice, which maybe that was the reason it came off a little bit unnatural, but... That's what had happened. They recorded it twice.
Interesting.
Two take queen.
I love hearing the tea like that behind the scenes.
The BTS, the behind the scenes. Yeah. So they recorded it twice. And then, like, I was kind of confused as to why the high schooler didn't actually dispense out information to him. Like, he told him practice. Like, I practiced for months, blah, blah, blah. But I'm sure, like, Ted already knew that.
For sure. Or maybe not, since he doesn't put a lot of prep into a lot of the things that he does. But we kind of spoke about this off screen that my guess is that there was a longer session, like, you know, just for editing purposes, they kind of cut that down.
Yeah, because they're like, this is a little dull.
Yeah, think about that. Repetitive speech.
Speech class.
Like, not really the sexiest TV. That's why we really got that fun moment with the rap. And they were like, that's it. That's we're good. Let's move on.
You're right. One thing that was nice all the way around, didn't really need a lot of cutting, was Bobby's segment. So Bobby's goal with this lovely, lovely mayor was to give him an in-home office that he could, quote, close the door on at the end of the day. I think Bobby said that like 8 times in the episode. I just want you to close the door on your work life at the end of the day. You can have a space, but close it. Which was fine. Like, it's true. It's the truth to you. I love that he gave us that information and that advice. For real. But that's what he did. He wanted to give him an office. And so he takes him to Pottery Barn.
Right.
And I've actually never been into a Pottery Barn. It's a little expensive for me. I'm more of an IKEA queen or an Ashley Home Furniture queen or a Walmart queen.
Or Home Goods. Even that's a little up there, too.
Yeah. But... Pottery Barn, I think I've been into once, and I just, like, kind of fantasized about...
I've been in there a couple times, but just to soak up their AC on a hot day.
Oh, my God. And, like, sit in the recliner.
No shame. Like, that's it. Because Life hack. You get a nice little comfy chair to lay on, soak in some AC.
Just take a moment.
This is aesthetic goals. And you're out.
You have some soft lighting. Occasionally, they have some lemon water.
I mean.
Maybe that's what Bobby was really doing. It's like, we're going to this damn Pottery Barn. It's too damn hot. So he tells him, I want to give you an in-home office. And really, he doesn't need, like, too much renovating with this house. Like, it's not the worst place in the world. It's not a bachelor pad by any means.
No.
He just wants him to give him a space because this mayor, he doesn't have an office. He actually gave up his office so that some of the administration of the town could have more office space. And it was this mayor position. I also read that he was very open about this. He gets paid $6,000 a year for being the mayor. It's a part-time gig. Which is actually pretty standard for, like, government officials. They really don't get paid that much, even if it's, like, a high office seat, like a mayor. But it was meant to be part-time, so he agreed on the front end, like, I'll just do my meetings in, like, coffee shops and restaurants and stuff. But that kind of left him always on the go with his work life. He really couldn't separate it. And when you can't separate it, it kind of blends into other parts of your lives where you're not really comfortable, like your home life.
Yeah, and a job like that, I think, needs a bit of structure. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if, like, he started off in the office and, like, because it sounds like that was the agreement from the beginning, right? To just give it up. If he had a foundation and a really good organized schedule and way of flow with his work, I think it would have been easier to transition to just doing things remotely. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like that foundation wasn't there. And poor Ted, he's just trying to do his best and help everyone out. But you can't help others if you're not, like, if you don't have your stuff together.
In a row, yeah.
You need to be like, okay, I'm here to help. Because people don't want to see the help that they're trying to lean into look disheveled, mm-hmm. or not able to help them.
Yeah, or doesn't have a strong, like, foundation or whatever. But you know what I did really like? Okay, so the reveal, you had mentioned that you loved the reveal.
I did.
Of the house. So the one, I did love this reveal. I love the closet space. I loved all of it. My favorite part of it was the boxed shoes that he canvassed in.
Yeah.
Because a friend of mine, actually my former roommate, did canvassing for a government official. And that's hard work.
Oh, my God.
Like, you're on your feet walking around for hours. And to do that in the Georgia heat and to do it as the mayor, like canvassing yourself.
Yeah.
You have some memories with those shoes. And I kind of love that they were red, tattered
shoes.
They
looked like something out of a book.
Yeah.
Like, just straight up, like... Perfect.
Perfect item to be boxed up.
I mean, considering they ripped up his other purple shirt that he won the election in.
He actually gave that. He was like, I didn't win that election. Didn't win it in that shirt. Oh. But he had like worked on his campaign in that shirt. But
I know. Because
I
was like, damn, that was kind of savage. But they kept another really good relic of that time and preserved it for him.
That was nice.
I just really loved, like, you're right. It's not like they lived in a shack by any means. I just really appreciated because I felt like it didn't need a lot, but it did look so much nicer after Bobby put his touch on it. I think it was like an episode where he could show off his real like interior design kind of flair.
Yeah, he was like, let me show you what I got.
Like, all right, you know what? I'm actually going to just elevate this more than you thought.
Yeah.
Like, to me, my favorite was the office room that he created, which mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a spare bedroom or what.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Yeah, he made it into such a cute office space and the dining area. Like, mm-hmm. that was, ooh. Cute.
Well, I mean, the dining area, some delegates from Sierra Leone and the Philippines are coming, girl. It better be nice.
I mean, did you see that delegate from the Sierra Leone? Her outfit,
shook,
though?
Her outfit was gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
And she was shook at his age. We'll get into
Her laughs were killing me.
She was like, who are you?
She was just so candid. It was like, yeah, that's great.
We're going to get into that a little bit later. But I loved those red shoes. And I loved what Jonathan did as well. So,
right.
Well, okay. Maybe I was too quick to say I loved what he did. I just love Jonathan in this episode. I love Jonathan in every episode. He chased the chickens moment. He had a lovely chasing of the chickens moment there. He was focusing on this beard. And this beard, y'all, was the biggest American scandal since Watergate. It was the biggest American tragedy since the Hindenburg disaster.
Yeah.
It was awful. It was all the way down to, like, his chest, and it looked like just, it smelled like cigarettes, even though he doesn't smoke. Like, it just didn't look good.
He said it, though, that it kind of catches the remnants of whatever he's had.
He referenced it as a flavor saver.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate that. I hate it. If you have a beard, never reference it as a flavor saver. Because I don't want any flavors to be saving in there at all.
Mm.
He wanted to get rid of the beard. So whenever I first saw Ted, I knew that he had potential.
Right.
He had beautiful eyes. He had great skin. He had great hair. I loved the length of his hair, actually.
Yeah.
I thought he had a good haircut to begin with.
His haircut wasn't bad.
It was good. And then he had a great smile. So I was like, okay, this is going to be good. Like, this makeover, if he just gets rid of the beard a little bit, I think it's going to be a moment. So Jonathan takes him to the salon
mm-hmm.
where some ladies are already there in the salon, like, getting their hair done. They're like just hanging out in the salon. And Jonathan does this thing where he turns to the ladies with Ted and he basically asks them, like, what do you think about the look? And he does, Jonathan, I think if it was all the way up to him, I think he would have kept some of the beard. And the girls outright said, like, I'd like to see you without the beard. I want to see you clean shaven.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan, you remember he was doing that thing where he was holding the beard back and
right.
he was showing the ladies what it would look like if he just had a regular beard.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked good.
It did.
It looked amazing, I thought.
I thought that his thought process at that point was where he was at with Ari, where he was like, he didn't want to take off all of it initially, but then eventually did. Or
yeah.
Or was it, I forgot who else it was, but like to just bring it down.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like the ladies kind of pressured them to just get rid of all of it.
I think so. And so he got rid of all of it. And You know,
do you like it?
No? I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it. And I'm comfortable. Jonathan, I love you. I love your work. I love everything about you. You're perfect. You're beautiful. Like, you look like in Linda Evangelista. You're gorgeous. But I didn't like this no beard moment.
I don't think it was the most flattering choice for his jawline, like the way his chin grew.
Yeah, he has like kind of a softer jawline. Mm-hmm. And I think he grew the beard for a reason. He looked great with it. I mean, he still looked great. He was a handsome guy. It just was not my favorite makeover I've seen on the show.
It wasn't. And to be honest, I feel like it was actually, as it's hard to say for Jonathan, but his most quintessential like gay moment to be like, ladies, what do you think?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie. First, it kind of made me a little uncomfortable because I felt like Ted was just so sweet and receptive to everything. And I felt like that was a little bit of a Mean Girls moment. Like, what do you think we should do with this?
With this thing.
Yeah, it kind of was like,
thing.
Okay, well. But love that you could see his pretty baby blues after.
Yeah, his eyes were so pretty. Jonathan said he said from the outset that he wanted to keep this mayor edgy. Like, he liked the fact that he was an edgy mayor. So he went really short in the sides, wanted to keep it long in the top, so that he could keep him edgy.
It almost did
it was just the right length where it didn't lay flat. It kind of stuck up a little bit. Yeah, I liked his haircut before.
He had an edgy gamer moment.
I liked the haircut before. Sue me. So, I liked his hair longer before too. Oops, sorry. But Jonathan, overall, like, I think he does a great job. He is like so amazing, and he told him how to take. He said, Ted, if you want to grow your beard back, this is how you take care of it. And he gave him some product. I think it was like beard oil or something. And we have some tea on that later in the show that we're gonna get to. So, the final Fab Five man is Tan.
Tan.
So,
Fantastic.
Tan basically wants to get rid... Tantastic, exactly. He wants to get rid of these 10-year-old clothes that Ted is carrying around. Oh my god, Tan and Ted, I'm gonna get this confused. He wants to get the college wardrobe out, and he wants to kind of lift it, right?
Right.
So he goes into his closet, and he finds shirts that are old. He finds suits that are too big and very old. He finds shoes. He only has like 3 pairs of shoes, and they're old.
And none of them are black because he hates black shoes.
He hates black shoes for some reason. I mean, you're a politician, girl. You need some black shoes.
It's not in his color palette, I guess.
I guess not. So he finds all of these clothes that are a little bit sentimental to Ted, because a lot of these clothes have a lot to do with the election that he won, that Ted won. And... what Tam wants to do is he wants to keep him relatable, keep him young, but kind of amp up his style. So he takes him to a store. I don't know what store it is, but it looks kind of like industrial and cool and like American Rag type of store. I was into it. And he gets him into some clothes that look exactly like his old clothes.
Can we just say, before the show started, we both agreed on how... like, unimpressed we were with the transformation.
With the physical transformation with the clothes. Like, I remember the moment when... because Tan always takes them into the store. He picks out clothes from the store. He says, go into the dressing room, try this on, and come back.
Right.
And whenever he came back, I was like, wait, he didn't try on the clothes. Because he was wearing, like, the exact same stuff. So, what I think happened was, it was better fitted... and it was a little bit more modern, and it was just higher quality stuff that he could keep.
Definitely the quality, because you could see from when they went through his closet the first time, all the stuff they were throwing away was really, like, gray looking.
Gray and
like
faded
old,
and ripped.
Faded, exactly. These clothes just actually look like just fresh clothes that hadn't been washed, like, 80 times a year for the last 10 years since you've had them.
Right.
And, I mean... yeah, I don't know. It's just... it was like he kept the whole linen vibe with everything, which looks...
very cool.
Which is appropriate for Georgia, which I appreciate him understanding that and knowing that he runs around outside all day going to his constituents. I love that. Mm-hmm. But it did come off very casual. Yeah. That's why we didn't get that wow factor of like, oh my God, you put something new on.
Mm-hmm. I love that word too, constituents.
You know.
Constituents.
I sound really smart when I say it.
I know,
feel
that's
really
a,
smart.
That's a vocab word. Constituents.
My SAT word of the day.
Constituents. This episode brought to you by constituents. Speaking of this episode and many more episodes, After Buzzers, our network produces aftershows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. I'm sure that there's a show that every member of the Fab Five loves on this network, AfterBuzz After Shows. So from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But here's the thing. We need your help. So we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. So by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you. Ooh, a voice?
Ooh.
Come on, voice. Okay.
Come through.
So YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you and help. You will help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be bothered because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well, like Competition Reality. I do Big Brother. Mm-hmm. If you love Big Brother, you can watch me on there or subscribe to that channel. So let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. And for now, thanks for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of talk. You think Tan would subscribe?
I think so.
I think Tan has subscribed. I think he's created a ghost account.
I think he's a Real Housewives fan.
I think
so.
He
I think
is.
He'd probably be down to.
What other? You're on another panel. What?
I am. So I'm on The Bachelorette, which tomorrow is our finale.
That's an Anthony show.
You think so? Anthony
said in the first episode he's a romantic. I think he watches The Bachelor. Ooh.
Well, Paradise starts the day after, so stay tuned for that.
Yes.
Tuesday nights,
yeah,
7 p.m. on the AfterBuzz Reality TV
channel.
We'll be talking about Paradise.
Ugh, I love all of those shows.
I know.
So, like we were saying, Tan wants to take him from schlumpy and frumpy and dumpy to a little bit less schlumpy, dumpy, frumpy. He wants him to still be relatable. And I love the moment, actually, whenever Ted is trying on this linen suit jacket and buttons it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tan's like, no, like, you leave it unbuttoned. I like to be comfortable in my clothes.
Yeah.
So he really wants to put the point across that, hey, this isn't like, I'm not trying to get you to be a stuffy politician with a tight collar and the fitted everything. Just be comfortable and casual.
Yeah. He does also keep it really real and direct with him, too. Mm-hmm. I wrote down that what he said kind of in his little confessional as they were showing footage. He said, what you wear does affect your job or encourage people to treat you a certain type of way. Mm-hmm. It's just a reality.
It does.
And he's helping him embrace that and make it his own way rather than run away from it,
mm-hmm,
and try and defect from that. Because it's just a part of your job and where you're at in life.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So after the Fab Five had their way with him, and not the way you think, the way that we all know and love from Queer Eye, they left him to his own devices for this dinner. The dinner went well. The delegates from Sierra Leone, as we said earlier, had a fabulous outfit when she walked in. Gorgeous, darling.
Gorgeous.
She was absolutely shooketh.com to the moon, to space and back at his age. She was like, you're so young, blah, 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 like making comments. And it was funny to kind of see that interaction.
Yeah.
The toast that he did, which Karamo helped him develop, was good. It mm-hmm. was concise, to the point, and had a really good message.
Yeah.
About, you know, immigration and everything. And Clarkston actually has received over 40,000 refugees since 1992. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Fun fact. Come through Clarkston, Georgia. So very appropriate that these delegates came through. And the delegate from the Philippines had a really good moment with Ted, saying, you are the future of politics. We need to support you, and we need to understand you, and we need to nourish and thrive make the younger generation thrive.
I thought that comment specifically brought the episode full circle, considering mm-hmm. when they were reading his kind of breakdown in the beginning, and Tan made a comment that, oh my God, he's so young to be in politics. And, you know, Bobby, Jonathan, everyone spoke up like, no, we need more young people in politics. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what, you know, is what our future looks like. So it was a nice moment.
It really was good. It was a great moment. And you know, Ted held his own, which is like we knew he was going to hold his own. Like, he's clearly a smart
guy. Yeah.
We're proud of you, Ted. We knew you were going to hold your own.
Woo-hoo.
So now we're going to move into one of our segments. It's going to be doing the most. We usually do the cry meter, but this cry meter was at a full zero, girl. I didn't really cry at all, which is okay. Like, this was an enjoyable episode. You don't need to cry to be entertained, girl.
it's just, we're so used to these being so emotionally cathartic.
We are.
And I was like, oh my God, I can keep my mascara on today.
I know.
All right.
Me too. My makeup won't run off. So this is the doing the most segment. So basically, it is which AfterBuzz host?
you,
I wish.
You won already.
I know. Which Fab Five member do you think had the most impact? And I think that Anthony had the most impact.
Why do you think Anthony?
Well, because from the start, the whole project was circled around the fact that he was hosting this dinner.
Mm.
And Anthony actually did I didn't mean to shade him. Anthony actually did something different. He did. Anthony did something out of the box, took them and taught them a place setting, and kind of did the revamped version of the Georgia Peach, which I thought was really smart. And the dinner and the food and the dinner is the centerpiece for which the bonding happened with the delegates. So I thought Anthony did the most.
You know, I think you hit that right on the money, and I definitely agree with you. I'm just going to also show Bobby some love this episode because, you know, aside from the dinner party, which was the main focus of having that moment and creating that, going forward, I think having a space that he can call his own and revamping how he treats his work versus personal versus home life by the way that they change his house is what's going to have the biggest, like, long-lasting impact, which is why I'm going to give it to Bobby.
Right. Awesome. So, now we're going to move into some AfterBuzz news. Ooh. AfterBuzz news. And this is going to... Thank you. Oh, that's the sound I love. I know I kind of spring it on you. Gosh, but this AfterBuzz news involves the subject, involves Ted. So after filming in July of 2017, Mr. Ted Terry actually went back and he won re-election. And if we pull up the Instagram post from Ted Terry, there he is in his bearded glory. He did grow the beard back.
What do you think of that length right there?
I thought that's—I think that's a perfect length.
I can agree.
I think that that's the—well, maybe a little longer.
Trim the mustache a little bit, though.
Trim the mustache,
because the ends are looking a little yeti.
But. I love that length of beard. Maybe the beard a little longer, maybe the hair a little shorter on the sides, but I love everything about it, other than those two main things.
I know. But the main focus here is that he was reelected.
Yeah, he was reelected, and he's going back to his roots in the beard a little bit. And he's using the T-Trail. Let's go over to that next Instagram post since we're talking about his Instagram. Look at that body.
Ooh.
Look at that body. He does CrossFit.
Get it.
Yeah, he does CrossFit. Those arms are everything. That abdomen won an election twice. And he's lifting up the people. Look at that ball of humanity that he's going to be lifting up and pushing Clarkston forward.
Yes, Terry.
That's what he's doing. I love that. If you want to look at his Instagram, it's at TedTerry1. And, yeah, he was reelected, and he did an interview, and in this interview, he spilled some tea on the, election process and the show process.
Really?
You know how we love the behind-the-scenes moments. So he said that the producers of Queer Eye actually scouted him for this episode. They came to Clarkston, Georgia, and they were looking for characters, and they came to him, the mayor, to say, who are the characters in your town who could possibly use a makeover? And he gave some different names, and he eventually was the one who they made over because the producers were saying, this is so perfect. They came back to him multiple times, and he eventually got made over. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That's dope.
So now, the news that we actually have all been waiting for. It starts with an S. It ends with a 3. We're talking about season 3 of Queer Eye. We've all been dying to know when season 3 is going to be released. We actually have a tweet. It's from the Queer Eye Twitter. It says, get in, Henny. We're taking a road trip. Are you ready for season 3? Kansas City, Missouri. Here we come.
Woo.
And it's a little video of, it's like an animated video of Fab Five going from Georgia to Missouri. So, Season 3 is happening in Kansas City, Missouri. They started filming on July 16th, so we'll have to wait a little bit before Season 3 is released, but the tea was that they're going to have it come out in mid-2019, hopefully early 2019.
Oh my god, I can't wait that long.
So we're going to have to wait, because it's mid-2018 right now, we're going to have to wait a year, girl.
But something tells me that they're going to do like they did with season 1 and 2 and kind of shoot them together. Mm-hmm. So maybe after we wait this long for season 3, we won't have to wait as long.
Yeah, we will be fully served. We'll be fully served.
Please.
With a dish of 2 seasons. We'll need 2 forks. We'll need 2 wine glasses.
Get that renewal Netflix.
To binge all of those seasons. So yeah, season 3 is coming in 2019. We're done with season 2. We're done with season 1 and 2. I can't believe it's over.
How do you feel at the end of this season 2?
I feel... gay.
Gay.
I feel
gay and proud.
So gay. I feel like the gayest I've ever felt, and it feels so good. The Fab Five have infiltrated my personality, and I've gotten an upgrade. An emotional one, because I don't look any better.
You know, I'm...
How do you feel?
I can agree there. Definitely gave me a make better on my insides.
Yeah.
It's just been so great to watch. I'm so glad that this show made a comeback and had, you know, even got a season two, yeah. working on a season three. I didn't know that this was the show that I needed in my life
until
it came back.
They're thriving.
It's really amazing. And, you know, a little more news and gossip. If you guys noticed, Drake dropped his video for In My Feelings, and he showed them some love at the end of the video. There's a compilation of all the different videos of the In My Feelings challenge.
I love it.
And you see the Fab Five and their version of it in there too. So that just tells you how quickly this show has become a phenomena again, how iconic these guys are. And imagine where they're going to be years from now after this. Like,
yeah,
I'm enjoying the ride, and I love it. Like, I feel like I just made five new besties.
Yeah. And if you want to follow some more Queer Eye news, you can follow AfterBuzz. You can watch our previous after shows. You can follow us. We're going to be spilling the tea. And you can follow the Queer Eye Twitter, too. So thank you so much for taking this amazing ride on season two. We are so looking forward and cannot wait for season three. We'll be binge watching all of these after shows. We'll be binge watching Queer Eye season one and two. From the AfterBuzz studios, thank you. My name is Charles Connolly. You can follow me at Charles Connolly. I'm also on the Big Brother after show, Christine.
And you guys, thank you so much for welcoming me onto this panel and having such a great season two. I am on social media at Christine Bean on Twitter and Christine I Alexis on Instagram. And don't forget to catch me on the Bachelorette finale and Bachelor in Paradise premiere Monday and Tuesday on the AfterBuzz reality TV channel.
Yes, God. And a special shout out to Matt Maher and Leanne and James, who have been with us the entire ride but couldn't make it here today. We love you. We love you. We love you.
We love
Goodbye.
You. And be queer.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.